We're turning for our scripture reading to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. We're going to read the opening 14 verses of the chapter together. Ezekiel 37. The verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. That's a statement in itself. How precious it is when the Lord draws especially near. How precious it is when the Lord can draw especially near. We think of those intimate times of individuals with the Lord. We can think of John the Apostle, how often he was there upon the bosom of Christ. What a special place that was. But here for Ezekiel, it just simply says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. And put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, which when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought ye up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It is the valley of dry bones we gather to consider this evening. Let's just still ourselves, ask the Lord to speak even to our hearts afresh tonight. O God, we come to thee with thy word open before us. We acknowledge that this is a relatively familiar chapter to many. O God, as we consider the valley of dry bones, but we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, cause us even to come at it afresh, and Lord, to seek to glean afresh from thy word. We pray for encouragement tonight. We pray, O God, that thou would encourage each heart. So we consider what was here in this vision and what God was able to do. Oh, may it encourage us to pray. May it encourage us to believe. May it encourage us to continue to have faith. We think of those words, the just shall live by faith. O God, may that be our reality. May that be our mentality every single day of our lives, that we live by faith. Oh, Father, bless us even now, we pray thee. We pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the power to be given even for preaching. We pray for the name and the person of Christ to be uplifted. Hear and answer us this night, O God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many regards, the book of Ezekiel is a book, and Ezekiel was a prophet who is rarely turned to and is rarely preached on. Many of you are going to do a whole Bible study or a whole book study. Very few would turn to Ezekiel. There are many hard passages to understand. Many difficult areas, even not just in the preaching, but even in the reading, as you seek to understand it. And yet at the same time, this particular chapter, Ezekiel 37, is one of those famous passages, those famous events that so many, if not everyone, knows about. Many have heard preached. Many different ways you can look at this passage and seek to apply it. You have before us in the first instance the context of the Israelite people and nation. For in reality, the Israelite nation wasn't simply divided between Israel and Judah, but rather the Israelite nation's dead. We have that even spoken to us in those final verses we read this evening of how the Israelites will come out of the graves. The Israelite people, all 12 tribes, had been utterly destroyed by invasion after invasion. The choicest young men and women have been carried off either to Assyria or to Babylon. The soldiers are slain in the battlefield, left to rot and to ruin, even as they lay there. Such was the devastation, there wasn't even anyone to come behind and to bury them. Many of the soldiers were not given a dignified burial or taken away from the scene, but rather they were left there to rot, left for the vultures and for the wild animals, until it came to the point where there was nothing left but bones. And the thought, the concern certainly was there that Israel as a nation was finished. By their best being carried off, by their young people being taken away into captivity, the thought was, well, there will not be another generation. This is the last stand. This is the last generation of Israelites. The question is asked to Ezekiel, can these bones live? In other words, can Israel come again? Can Israel stand upon its feet as a nation again? Is there hope in the midst of hopelessness? There is also a picture of future events in regards to the second coming of Christ, and how life will be breathed into the nation of Israel, how the Lord will preserve, and how it will be a united people once again. There are some, whenever they seek to apply this particular passage, will look at it in a personal individual setting as well. They will speak simply of a salvation and how the Lord breathes into one person in particular. An individual can be dead in their trespasses and in their sins, and yet the power of the Spirit and the breath of God, new life is breathed into him. We're born again by the Spirit. But one other way that so many apply these verses, and the way I really desire to look at them this evening, is under really the context of revival. And how this is a picture of the world, this can be a picture of our nation. And the great devastation, the great disaster that it is. And yet God can change it all. As I said earlier, this is a very well-known passage. Many of you may have heard many sermons even upon this passage. Many preachers, if it's anything to do with revival, they will come to such verses. But I trust that we will be reminded and encouraged tonight not to give up hope. As you look around, as you consider what is happening in Northern Ireland, as you consider changes that there has been, as you consider the decay and the decrease in morality, you consider all that has come to pass, that we will not be discouraged, but rather encouraged. That even as we come to the place of prayer, that the Lord will encourage us afresh to pray. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to the Valley of Dry Bones. Firstly, verses 1 and 2, you have the condition in the valley. The condition in the valley. The end of verse 1, it tells us that Ezekiel saw in the midst of the valley, it was full of dry or of bones. And then the second verse, it says, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel's brought there by the Spirit of God. And what he sees and what he describes is a very bleak picture indeed. If you remember back to the very first message that we gave in relation to the valleys in Scripture, we mentioned that there were five different Hebrew words for valley. And this particular one here that is used in Ezekiel 37 is the Hebrew word bekah. And bekah means a very wide, flat valley. Not a narrow little valley where only one or two could pass through, but rather a wide expanse between two mountains, a great flat plain in which much agriculture could be accomplished, if so be it, or even as we see in these verses, much battle could be accomplished. This was a massive expanse. And it tells us in these verses that the entire valley, this massive area, is full of bones. Ezekiel, he's told to pass round about. In other words, he's told to do a full lap, do a full circumference, go everywhere within this valley. Such is the expanse of the valley. The Lord sends him on his way to do a full look, to see everything, to go to every corner, to cover every single part of the valley, to see as much as he possibly could. It doesn't matter where he goes. He finds the exact same picture. In verse 2, it really emphasizes the concentration of Ezekiel, because within the verse 2, it tells us that on two occasions those words, behold and lo. He's really highlighting what he's finding here. This isn't just a quick glance he's given. He has studied what he has seen. He has studied where he has went. And he's drawn the person, even the reader of these words, he's drawn them to consider. He says, behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. He's really bringing you in. Make sure you understand what I see. The report's given, there are very many bones, and they are very dry. There is not one sign of life anywhere in the valley. There's not one area, there's not one corner, there's not one individual that is there in that valley that Ezekiel can highlight and say, I found one. There's not a potential, there's not a possibility at any point in any direction for life. Everywhere he goes is the exact same. It's just bones upon bones. All very dry. You know, that is the picture of the world, spiritually speaking. That's the picture of our nation. It doesn't matter where you go in our nation. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. You will find nothing but sin. You will find nothing in individuals but dead in their sin and in their trespasses. Sometimes people almost try to hope beyond hope that mankind isn't as bad as what might be thought. Individuals will try and find, well, surely there's something good about man. And they will dig into it and they'll look for those kindnesses, they'll look for those evidences, they'll look for those little green shoots, as it were, to say this is not as bad as what we might have thought. Surely there's life. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That applies to every individual in the entire world. Each one who is born in the original state of sin is dead. Sin is entered in and death by sin. And you can go anywhere in our nation, you can go anywhere in the world, and you will find the exact same. And you can circumvent the globe. As Ezekiel went round about the valley, and you will find dead religion. You will find men and women without hope, without peace. You will find men and women spiritually dead. You will find those that believe in absolutely nothing. They believe that they are but an existence of cells, and whenever the time comes, they will just die, and that's it, the end. Individuals with nothing to live for. You'll find individuals who believe in self. That life is all about what you can do and what you can make for yourself, and you're as good as you are. You'll also find in the world the very worst of individuals carrying out the very worst of crimes. But regardless what kind of individual you look at, they're all dead. They're all but bones. Very dry bones. No spiritual life at all. Dead. Decayed. That's what Ezekiel saw as he went round the valley. That was the condition that he brought even to our eyes and to our minds as he was there in that vision. But then secondly, the challenge is given to verse 3 and 4 in the valley, because the Lord then comes to him and he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He answers, "O Lord God, thou knowest." And the Lord in verse 4 goes on to say to him, "Then prophesy upon these bones." The challenge here really comes in two parts. The Lord puts a question to Ezekiel. It's a searching question. Remember, Ezekiel's just on a lap. Ezekiel has went round the entire valley. He saw everything there is to see. And then the question comes to him. The question doesn't come before he does his lap. The question comes after. So Ezekiel has saw everything. He's beheld everything. He has recorded everything. And then the question comes, can these bones live? Challenge is presented. Do you believe in God and in his power? You see, the human answer is no. If we are just speaking humanly, if we're looking at an entire valley full of bones and we ask the question, can these bones live? The scientific answer, the human answer is no. How could bones live? It's just a carcass. If it's just a skeleton lying there, how could that live? It's impossible. Can't even put a 1% probability on it. It's impossible. There's no organs, there's no flesh, there's no blood. There's only bones. But the question is asked here, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in his power to bring that which is dead to life? That was a question that was put to Jairus. You remember whenever Jairus wanted Christ to come to his house, he wanted Christ to come to his house for his child who was sick, nigh unto death. But then as they were making that journey, as the lady who had the issue of blood for 12 years, as she came forward and touched the hem of the garment, and the Lord stepped, then one of the servants came, and he brought that news, "Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble ye the master?" The Lord says to him, "Be not afraid, only believe." He's just heard, your daughter's now, she's no longer sick, she's dead, she's gone. The Lord immediately puts the challenge to him, "Jairus, do you believe in me? Or are you just going to believe in this man's word?" The challenge was given here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Does God have the ability to bring man from death unto life? Romans 4:17 says, "Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Ezekiel's asked, can these bones live? You notice he doesn't say yes. He doesn't say, yes, Lord, I believe. He says, ah, Lord God. He uses two of the Lord's titles in his answer. He says, ah, Adonai Jehovah. Brings us to the omnipotence of God. The Almighty. The all-knowing. The all-powerful. The self-existent, the eternal God of heaven and of earth, thou knowest. See, he didn't need to say yes, did he? Ah, Lord God, Adonai Jehovah. Nothing is too hard for the God of heaven and of earth who created all things. Even bringing life out of very dry bones. But then the challenge goes further. If you do believe, then preach. It's one thing saying, yes, Lord, I believe you can do it. It's another thing then, acting in that faith. Many people will say at times, oh, I believe the Lord can send revival. I believe the Lord can revive again. I believe the Lord can do what he did in the past. I believe he can save souls. And the Lord then puts the challenge down, well, what are you going to do about it? If you do believe that revival can come, are you willing to speak? If you do believe revival can come, are you willing to witness? If you do believe revival can come, are you willing to pray and to pray on and to invite and encourage and to be busy for the Lord? Now I think of that statement that James makes in the epistle, faith without works is dead. Of course, he's speaking there about justification by faith, because the evidence of justification by faith is there will be works that will follow on from your justification. Never the Lord justifies you by his blood. When the Lord brings you into his family, then there will be that evidence you're a new creature in Christ. The old things pass away, all things become new, and so there will be that difference within mankind. But you can see the sense even of those words, faith without works is dead. You can see the evidence of that and the thought of that even in what's brought here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, if you believe, then go and preach to the bones. Act on your faith. Again, to the human, stand and preaching to people that are dead might seem a very pointless exercise. They might phone for the little white taxi, come and take you away. If you were standing preaching in a morgue, or standing preaching to bones. I remember as a child, we used to go out and preach to the cows. So we did. Me and my brother, I led the first part and handed over to him. We did until the cows moved on. But wacky, yes. But here Ezekiel's asked the question, Ezekiel, you have a whole valley full of dead bones. You believe the Lord can bring them back to life? Ezekiel, preach to them. Question can be asked of you and I. Do we truly believe the Lord can save our loved ones? We truly believe the Lord can bring life into the many dry bones in the valley of Six Mile Cross and Abera. As we have went round this village, these villages, as we know all of the people in this area that you've grown up with and all of the people that you've come into contact with in the community and all those that you've known from childhood up, you saw them as they've grown up. You saw the life they've went into. You saw the path that they have chosen to go. You saw the sins and you saw the depths of the sin and the wickedness. And you saw the deadness towards Christ that there is. And I ask the question, can these bones live? You say, yes, I believe. I believe the Lord can save them. Doesn't matter that it's maybe 50 years since I last heard the gospel. Doesn't matter what they've got up to in all of those years. Yes, I believe. Ah, Lord God, thou knowest. And the challenge is given. Are you willing to witness? Are you willing to pray for them? Are you willing to invite them to speak to them? One thing to say you believe, another thing to show it. Ezekiel had to do both here. The Lord came with a searching question. The answer had to be given. Then the proof had to be given after that. Yes, Lord, I believe. Now, Lord God. Okay, go ahead and prophesy. The condition in the valley. The challenge in the valley. But then thirdly and finally, the change in the valley. Verses 7 to 10. Verse 7 tells us, as I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, as Ezekiel preached, change began to happen. There was a noise. There was movement. Flesh suddenly appeared. Sinews started to knit themselves together. Bones came into place once again. Then all of the organs, everything came. The skin came up over it all. And everything was there. But they're still dead. Yes, there was change. Yes, it was positive change. Yes, they're further down the road than what they were when Ezekiel first came. Yes, they were closer to life than ever before. But now they're still dead. But take the encouragement for what it is. You see positive steps and you see changes in your loved ones. Maybe it's simply a case that your loved one's more open to the gospel than before. Maybe it's a case that your neighbour that you've tried to invite and talk to, for once they've actually had a proper conversation with you. They didn't just shut you down. Maybe it's a case you see individuals starting to change their habits. Not drinking like they once did. Not cursing like they once did. Not going out to those places like they once did. Take the encouragements. But also be realistic. There is only one who can originate life. That's God. There's only one who can originate revival. That's God. Geoffrey Keane, he said, revival is a sovereign act of God upon the church whereby he intervenes to lift the situation completely out of human hands and works. Ezekiel was given the challenge, you preach, and Ezekiel preached, he prophesied unto them, and there was change within them. Yes, there was a betterment of the condition of each one of them, but he couldn't bring one of those bones to life. There's not one in that valley could stand upon the feet because of Ezekiel's preaching. There's not one could even sit up. There's not one could move one of their bones. They were all still lying there dead. God needed to come. That wind of God needed to blow through. After all, it was only when God breathed into Adam that Adam became a living soul. Adam wasn't a living soul whenever he was made of the dust. Adam was a living soul when God breathed into him. Christ spoke to Nicodemus of the wind blowing where it listed, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's when the wind of God comes. It's when the Spirit of revival, it's when the Spirit of God comes, that energy of God, and it breathes into us. Life comes from the giver of life. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. So when you come down through these verses, you see that whenever the wind came, that then came the life. The wind of God moved in the valley. Tells us there, so I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they were able to stand. Now I couldn't help but think of those who were brought from death unto life in Scripture. How often it records the fact that there was a physical movement. Whenever Lazarus was brought to life, it tells us that he came walking, he came out of the tomb. When Jairus was brought back to life, when the Lord took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumai, then it tells us she sat up. Whenever the individuals like Elijah there, whenever he leaned across the young lad, he then was able to lift the lad and to bring the lad down to his mother. There was always that physical movement, that physical evidence given. Here was one who was dead, but now there's the evidence of life. For Ezekiel in the valley, here's the evidence. Each one of them, they lived and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. There's no doubting. There's no questioning whether or not they're dead or alive. Yes, whenever it's a case of them lying there and all of the sinews and the blood, the flesh has come back over them and they're all lying there, well then somebody could say, oh, maybe there's someone is alive here. But whenever the Spirit of God breathed upon them, every single one of them stood to their feet. The answer then came back, all of them are alive. See, that's a great joy when revival comes. That's a great joy when salvation comes. There's no denying. There's no questioning. There's no doubting when God moves. An individual who's born again, you know they are alive. The changes are there for all to see. Never revival comes, you know that's off the Lord, because you can see the evidence. You can see the marks right across the land, right across even the community in which God is present himself, in which God is moving. You can see there was where they were. God has brought them to here. What was one of the great trophies and one of the great evidences? 1859 revival. The courts were empty. The judges were given pairs of gloves because they had no one to judge upon. They had nothing to do. Bars and public houses were shut down, never to be opened again. Why? Because there was no one to drink in them. Why? Because Christ had come in. The evidence was there. As you consider Six Mile Cross and you consider Berra, consider this community as a whole. You consider your loved ones. Ask the question, can these bones live? Child of God, do you still believe? You still trusting tonight? As you've surveyed, as you know your loved ones, as you know the community, as you know those families, you know those neighbors. You could say they're very dry bones. But the Lord asked the question, can these bones live? Keep trusting. Keep believing. The Lord is able to give more, to do more than you can ask or even think. You know, Ezekiel was there at that time. I'm sure there were many thoughts went through his head. I'm sure there was great grief in the first instance as he did that lap, as he saw everything. But I think by the end of it, of the great gladness, because there was a whole army alive by the power, the Spirit of God. Can these bones live? Ah, Lord God, thou knowest. May the Lord bless his word. Encourage us even through his word tonight.